From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, January 24th. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis County Council members now have enough support to override a veto from County Executive Sam Page, and they want to place a check on Page's power.
It's going to be tough for him to bring legislation to the council and hope that he gets a majority vote going forward.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum looks at how Page plans to navigate an adversarial county council. That story coming up after this news on The Gateway. Legislation spending nearly $300 million in Rams settlement money in St. Louis is moving forward in City Hall. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports that the newly revised Transform STL Act is back before the full Board of Aldermen today.
Members of the Housing, Urban Development, and Zoning Committee voted 5-2 on Thursday to advance the legislation. It's a combination of two proposals into one bill that funds water infrastructure, an endowment to make childcare more affordable, investments in downtown and North St. Louis, and more. Ward 13 Alderwoman Pam Boyd says merging her proposal with one from Ward 7 Alderwoman Alicia Saunier means some specifics still need to be worked out.
This is a big challenge for us as legislators, her and I, to look at this one-time money and try to get it as right as we can.
The bill now moves to the full board, where three meetings are left to pass it before the board breaks for spring elections. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Metropolitan Alliance for Reliable Transit, or SMART, has issued its latest assessment of Metro Transit's performance. The disabled rights group says despite progress, they need to see more. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
Stephanie McDowell mainly uses Metro Transit's caller ride to get to and from work. McDowell is blind and has depended on Metro's paratransit service for 25 years. She's encountered many challenges over the years. She's waited hours to make a reservation and has also had her routes cut. She says the quarterly report cards have played a major role in reducing the number of Metro's trip denials and improving its phone reservation system.
Change takes a long time. I don't feel like we can let up as far as continuing to make sure that they are following through with things they've said they are going to do.
McDowell wants to see better communication between Metro and its riders. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Riverview Gardens School District is weighing whether to close one of its elementary schools. A demographic survey commissioned by the school board found that the district will lose anywhere from 800 to 1,000 students over the next 10 years. The district has been provisionally accredited since 2017 after losing its full accreditation in 2007. During an open house on Wednesday, Superintendent Tanya Patton said consolidating schools will help put the district back on the right path.
This school district has been provisionally accredited for the last 8 years. We have got to come to full accreditation, and we've got to put the focus where we need it.
There will be two more open houses in February for families to attend. A new Missouri Senate bill would reclassify all intoxicating cannabis products as marijuana. The Family, Seniors, and Health Committee held a hearing on the legislation this week. Proponents say the bill would close a federal loophole that legalized hemp drugs in 2018. Republican Senator Nick Schroer of St. Charles County sponsored the bill.
This change has led to an influx of intoxicating cannabis products derived from hemp currently sold without the stringent oversight that governs traditional marijuana products.
Missouri Hemp Trade Association officials say their members support other bills that would require licenses, labeling, testing, and age restrictions, but they say this bill would kill the hemp industry by limiting sales to the limited number of licensed marijuana dispensaries. The fight started with the 2018 Farm Bill, which created a distinction between the two types of cannabis. Hemp has a low level of an intoxicating chemical called Delta-9. Since then, products with other hemp-derived intoxicants have flooded the market. Multiple attempts have been made to ban or regulate these products in Missouri, but they haven't been successful. A federal judge has temporarily blocked President Donald Trump's executive order ending the constitutional guarantee of birthright citizenship. A U.S. district judge ruled Thursday in the case brought by Illinois, as well as Washington, Arizona, and Oregon. The states argue that the 14th Amendment and Supreme Court case law have cemented birthright citizenship. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul is issuing updated guidance for state law enforcement agencies in preparation for federal immigration raids. Alex Degman reports.
Raoul is reminding Illinois police that immigration is a federal matter and state law doesn't allow local law enforcement to carry out federal duties. Local police can't sign enforcement agreements with ICE. They can't comply with immigration detainers, cannot transfer people into ICE custody without a criminal warrant, and can't use state or local facilities for immigration investigations. Local authorities also can't give immigration officials access to databases the public can't see and cannot coordinate with them on site during official actions. Raoul, in a statement alongside 10 other attorneys general, called the Trump administration's plans empty words on paper, but he says Illinois is ready to respond if the words turn to action. I'm Alex Degman.
Meantime, the Illinois State Board of Education is advising local school officials to be prepared in the event federal immigration officials try to take enforcement actions on school grounds. Capital News Illinois reports the agency posted what it calls non-regulatory guidance on its website this week. It comes after the new Trump administration rescinded a Biden-era policy that limited enforcement actions in so-called sensitive areas such as schools, playgrounds, and childcare centers. University of Missouri scientists have begun a nationwide study on heart disease in pregnancy. The Heart Outcomes in Pregnancy Expectations, or HOPE, study came about when Missouri researchers noticed that even though rates of cardiovascular disease were rising in pregnant people, there was a lack of reliable research. MU Healthcare will be the first of 36 sites across the country to enroll patients in the study. Karen Florio is the study's principal investigator. She says the goal is to gather data on heart disease in pregnancy, which is currently the leading underlying cause of pregnancy-related deaths in Missouri and the third leading cause of pregnancy-related deaths nationwide.
So I'm hoping that we can really shed light on the fact that cardiovascular disease is not a disease of the old. It can affect the young, and it can affect you when you're pregnant.
Florio says the study aims to enroll 1,000 participants over the course of 3 years. Providers or patients interested in taking part in the study can contact the cardio-obstetric clinic at MU Healthcare. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page is encountering a familiar problem. After the latest election, he only has one reliable ally on the St. Louis County Council and a host of adversaries who want to exert their power over Missouri's largest county. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports on why voters could have the final say over who gets the upper hand.
After being sworn into a second term in office earlier this month, Councilwoman Shalonda Webb used her speech to make a comment on the state of St. Louis County politics. The Democratic lawmaker noted that county government often feels like it's in a state of perpetual conflict. But rather than fights between Democrats and Republicans on the seven-person council, Webb alluded to how the dividing line tends to be who is aligned with the county executive and who is willing to push back.
St. Louis government often feels more like Jeff City or even Washington, D.C. sometimes, with partisanship overshadowing collaboration. But despite all of those challenges, we show up every day, every week, so that we may make meaningful strides together.
After the most recent election, Webb is part of a six-person coalition on the council. Members of this bipartisan group are either openly hostile or deeply skeptical of St. Louis County Executive Sam Page. Page says he is ready to work with the council. He pointed out how council members came together to approve a legal contract that could pave the way for a multi-county law enforcement training center.
You have to have conversations, you have to agree to work together when you agree, and you see where your relationships go. There are no permanent enemies in the political process.
Because there's enough Page adversaries to override his veto, Councilman Mark Harder says the Democratic chief executive won't be able to run roughshod over the council.
It's going to be tough for him to bring legislation to the council and hope that he gets a majority vote going forward.
It wasn't always this way. When Page ascended to the county executive's office in 2019, he had broad support on the council. Page critics, like Council Chairwoman Rita Days of Bel-Noor, cite Page's inability to now effectively communicate with the council.
The account executive often says publicly that he wants to work together to get things done. Yet behind closed doors, his actions tell a different story. I remain ready and willing to work earnestly with Dr. Page, but that collaboration must be a two-way street.
While acknowledging that his communication could be more robust with council members, Page didn't deny there's big disagreements ahead. That includes a measure that would ask voters to allow the council to oust department directors and the county councilor with 5 out of 7 votes. Councilman Dennis Hancock of Fenton supports this measure, especially since county officials are staring at major budgetary problems in the years ahead.
We're getting ready to make some very hard choices, and I think we need to make sure that the people that we're going to be entrusted with making those decisions are trustworthy.
Page is planning on vetoing the proposal, but there's enough support on the council for it to go before voters on April 8th. Councilwoman Lisa Clancy, Page's sole ally on the council, says the measure puts too much power in the hands of the legislative branch.
And I think that this inappropriately puts our department directors into the crosshairs of an ongoing conflict between the council and the county executive's office.
Page may face another threat to his power in the near future, a proposal to have a county manager oversee more of St. Louis County government. That won't be on the April ballot, but it may reemerge in 2026. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. You can hear Jason's conversation with County Executive Sam Page during the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. That's on the air on St. Louis Public Radio at noon and 7 today, and on the podcast, available wherever you find this one. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a safe and happy weekend.